Good morning. Good to see you this morning on this Resurrection Sunday. Welcome to New Creation Fellowship. We are happy that you are here with us today. If you need anything at all, find one of the ushers and they would be glad just to take care of whatever need you might have. The title of the message today is The Other Side of the Cross. And so on one side of the cross, you have Jesus who is willingly going to the cross in obedience to the Father. And it's a heart-wrenching pathway. We know about the anointing for burial, the Last Supper with the disciples, the Garden of Gethsemane prayer, the unjust trial before Caiaphas, Jesus suffering on the cross. That's what our Good Friday service was all about, to remember exactly what happened as Jesus obediently went to the cross in fulfillment of Scripture. Thankfully, that's not the end of the story. Today, we come to the other side of the cross. And what we find here on the other side is that the cross is not the final destination. Death doesn't get the last word. In fact, in Matthew 28, verses 1 through 4, it says this: Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And for the fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. So here we are on Resurrection Sunday. Here we are on the other side of the cross. And today we're going to look at what it means to be there. You can take out your note sheets and follow along with me if you would like to do that this morning. First of all, what does it look like for the women at the tomb? These were the first witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. Matthew here mentions two Marys, but we know from the other Gospels that there were many other women there as well. And these were the women who followed Jesus from Galilee. Right? These were the women who watched from afar as Jesus hung on the cross. These were the women who followed Joseph of Arimathea to the tomb and saw where Jesus was buried. These were the women who got up early on Sunday morning and brought spices to anoint the body of Jesus. Instead, they find an empty tomb with a stone rolled away, guards who trembled like dead men, and an angel sitting on the tombstone. Like, what did the other side of the cross mean for these women? And we think we can sum it up in three words: joy, worship, and commission. First, we have joy mixed with fear. And you might think that's a strange combination, and it is. Like, how do you do that? Well, look at verses 5 through 8. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead, and behold, he's going before you to Galilee, and you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. And they ran and told the disciples. So the angels tell them what happened, the good news of Christ's resurrection. And they turn to leave the tomb, and then they're filled with joy. The angel tells them not to be afraid, and yet they kind of are, right? I don't know about you, but I've been freaked out, right? Angel, they're looking like lightning with clothes white as snow. Roman guards, tough guys. They're afraid. No wonder they're afraid. In addition to that, I think they were afraid because they didn't know exactly what to make of all this. And they came expecting to anoint a dead man's body, and now they get told he's alive? Like, what's up? What does it mean for them? What does it mean for the disciples? What does it mean for the world? What are the implications? So they hurry away from the tomb with joy, but afraid as well. Joy at the sight of the empty tomb. Joy at the good news that Jesus has risen from the dead. Joy that he is alive and going ahead of them into Galilee. Joy that they will see their Lord again. I think more joy than fear. Then our second word for these women on the other side of the cross is worship. Verse 9, and behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They came up and took a hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. So not only are they first to see the empty tomb, but they're also the first to see him alive. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Like your whole world's just been turned upside down, but like in a good way, right? They are quickly going to go tell the disciples when Jesus meets them on the way. He's like, "Greetings," like it's a normal day. This is the new normal on the other side of the cross. Like, Jesus is alive. Every day is good news. Jesus greets us every day with power, love, and forgiveness. The women come up to Jesus, they get a hold of his feet, and they worship him. That they worship their Lord, who had suffered like no other and now stood before them alive and well. Truly amazing. And then the third word is commission. Verse 10, Jesus said to him, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Resurrection is just not a nice story. Right? It's the basis of our marching orders. It's the good news, and good news is for sharing. And so Jesus commissions them to go tell the disciples, and then later on in Matthew chapter 28, he extends that to the disciples and then to us, right? To go into the world and share the gospel, baptizing them and teaching them, right? The other side of the cross for these women meant they had joy, they worshiped Jesus, and they were commissioned by him to share the good news. So the same is true for us as believers in Christ. We should be filled with joy. Did you catch that? We should be filled with joy. Put a smile on your face. We should worship him. And then we should go and tell others the good news of the gospel. Well, that's the other side of the cross for these women. In addition to that, the other side of the cross, what does it mean for Jesus? Again, three words to look at this morning: satisfaction, reunion, and glory. Let's take a look. First, it meant satisfaction. Isaiah 53, verse 11, "Out of anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. But by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities." Isaiah 53, one of the most important chapters when it comes to Old Testament prophecy, foretelling the death of Christ on the cross, but it also foretells his resurrection. Out of his anguish, he shall see and be what? Satisfied. Jesus went to the cross for a purpose. There's a reason why he walked with determination to the cross on his last days, never wavering, praying through the temptation in the garden. Jesus went to the cross to pay the price for our sins that we might be forgiven. Or as Isaiah 53 puts it, to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. And Jesus saw that his work had been accomplished. He looked across the scope of human history and he saw the countless lives that would be saved by his sacrifice, and he was satisfied. Second word for Jesus is reunion. Let's go back to the upper room the night before Jesus went to the cross, John 13, 1. And then now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The next 24 hours for Jesus would be one where he got arrested, betrayed, abandoned, denied, beaten, crucified, and forsaken, and then he would die and be buried. Jesus knew all of that, and yet for him, the next 24 hours meant this. It meant that it was time for him to leave this world and return to the Father. And in one sense, he couldn't wait to return. He thought about it as he suffered it. He's paid the price to save us from our sins. And now, staring at the cross, he's still thinking about going back to the Father. The other side of the cross meant that Jesus' work here on earth was done. He looked forward to this glorious reunion with his Father in heaven. Brings us to the third word, which is glory. Revelation 5:12, the scene is heaven. Jesus, the Lamb of God, stands in the center of the throne. Around him are four living creatures and the elders, and they're surrounded by a choir of angels, thousands upon thousands. It's a lot of angels that sing in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And then every creature in heaven and earth and under the earth on the sea, all that is in them, they join in saying, verse 13, "To him who sits on the throne and the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." For Jesus, the other side of the cross meant glory, honor, and praise in heaven. His sacrifice will never be forgotten as the Lamb who was slain, as the one who was worthy to receive power and wisdom and strength. And then there's one more aspect of the cross that we have to look at this morning. It's important to see what the other side of the cross meant for the women at the tomb. It's important to see what it meant for Jesus, as he's the whole reason why we're here celebrating Easter this morning. But at the same time, it would be remiss of me, it'd be wrong for me not to let you know, point three on your outline, what it meant for you. We'll stick with the same pattern, three words: salvation, perseverance, and resurrection. Let's start with salvation. John 3:18 says this about salvation in Christ. It says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." The reality is, when you come to the cross of Jesus, you come to a crossroads in your life. Will you accept what Jesus did for you at the cross? Will you put your trust and your hope in him as Savior and Lord? Or will you walk away from God and do your own thing? There's forgiveness and salvation and eternal life on the other side of the cross. The question is, will you embrace it? Will you receive it? Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So after you receive Christ as your Savior, then the second word takes on a whole new meaning: perseverance. Hebrews 12:1-3 says this about the Christian life: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." When you receive Christ as Savior, now that you are a Christian, you're embarking on this whole new life. Because the Christian life's not a sprint. We run with what? Endurance. It's all about running a marathon. I don't know, do you know you're a distance runner? Right? Time to dig deep. Time to run the race that God has marked out for you. How will you make it to the end? How will you persevere to the end? How will you endure? Well, there's one way: you fix your eyes on Jesus, who not only endured the cross, but on the third day rose again and is alive today, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And when you consider all of this, then and only then will you not grow weary and lose heart. One word for you, one more word for you this morning: resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18, "For the Lord God himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. If you're here today and you are a Christ follower, you're a Christian, we need not to fear death, because death is no longer the end, but rather it's the beginning. Max Lucado, in his book, 6 Hours One Friday, told the story of a missionary who was in Brazil, and he discovered a tribe of Indians in a remote part of the jungle. And they lived near a large river, and the tribe was in need of medical attention. A contagious disease was taking out the whole population. People were dying like daily, and the hospital was not too terribly far away and across the river, but the Indians wouldn't cross the river because they believed the river inhabited evil spirits, and so to enter the water meant death for them. So the missionary explains like how he had crossed the river and was unharmed, but they're not having it. And so he takes him to the bank of the river, and he places his hand in the water, and they still wouldn't go in. And he walks into water up to his waist, splashes water all over his face like it did not matter. They still were afraid to enter the river. And finally, he just dives into the river, and he swims across to the other side. He raises his fist in victory. He had entered the water and had been fine. It was then that the Indians broke into a cheer and they followed him across. And I thought, isn't that what Jesus said? He entered the river of death and he came out on the other side so that we might no longer fear death, but find eternal life in him. Because of what Jesus did on Easter, he rose from the dead. He's alive today. There's nothing but eternal life and being in the presence of Christ in store for us. On the other hand, if you're here today and you have not trusted in Christ as Savior and Lord, the Bible says this, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Here's the deal. The Bible says that there's this gap, there's this canyon, this huge distance between you and God because of our sin. And you can never get from one side to the other side on your own. The distance is just too great. And so no matter how hard you try, you cannot save yourself. So if God never sent a Savior, none of us would go to heaven. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. But praise God, there's more to Romans 6:23. See, it's true, the wages of sin is death, but it's also true that the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We can't bridge the gap, so Jesus did that for us. When we trust in Christ, we put our faith and our hope in him. We believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Then we will be saved. We will have eternal life. We will spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. That's the good news of Easter. That's why Jesus is satisfied this morning. He is risen. Good job. I tried to catch you. Right? He is risen indeed. Today, it would be awesome if you haven't had a relationship with Christ to reach out to the risen Savior and trust him for salvation today. If that's your heart today, if that's where you're at right now, no magic words at all, but just to pray with an open heart. Let's go ahead and close our service today with a word of prayer. Would you join me this morning? Father God, thank you for your word today. And God, there are people here who need to begin a relationship with you. And so God, on this Easter morning, would you give them the courage to open their hearts and their life to you? If you're here and you want Jesus to come into your heart and life and have a personal relationship with him, again, no magic words, just follow along a simple prayer with me. Dear God, I'd like to start a new life. I know there are things in my life that I need to change, but I want to open up my heart to your grace and your mercy. I want to hold on to your promises today. Thank you for loving me so much and for forgiving me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for me. And thank you that today the tomb is empty. I invite you to come into my heart and life, and from this day forward, I want to trust you to make the changes that you want to make in my life. in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. If you prayed along with me today, if you gave your heart and life to Christ, made that decision, if you could just mark the back of your connection card and just let us know that you made that decision, that would greatly appreciate it. Thank you.